Bava Metzia, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, 6-2. Now we discuss what happens if a worker stops in the middle of his work, leaving his employer a bit inconvenienced. We're talking here about a situation which is not a davar avet, so it's not immediately like a financial loss, but now there's just an inconvenience, and the worker isn't doing what he was agreed to do originally. Now there is a principle, which is that a worker, even if he agrees to work for the whole day, etc., can stop whenever he pleases, and the employer has no like financial claim on him, assuming it's not a davar avet, meaning for the inconvenience of it all, because Jews are not slaves. The pasuk says, "Ki li v'nei Yisrael avadim." The Jews are avadim to Hashem, and therefore not to any basar v'dam, no human beings. So if a person does want to work, you can't make him work. He's allowed to say, "No, I'm not working." That's true even in the middle of the project. But in terms of payment, how do we calculate that? So the Mishnah says, "Hasocher esu manin." What if you hire workers? These are craftsmen, and this is a kablanis situation. So you hire a carpenter to make you 6 new dining room chairs. He says he wants $100 a chair. It'll be $600 to build you 6 chairs. He's a koblin. Now, halfway through the project, he's made 3 of the chairs. He says, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm stopping for whatever reason. So chazurban, he backs out. So then, yadan ala tachtona. So then, the craftsman's hand is on the underside, meaning he's got the short end of the stick, meaning he's the weaker half of the negotiation. So what happens is this. There's 2 ways to calculate how much he's entitled to get. Let's say the employer now needs to find a new carpenter to build the other 3 chairs, and the new carpenter says, listen, for 3 chairs, it's not such a big job, I want $400. So now, originally the deal was that the employer was going to pay $600 for the 6 chairs. Now he's paying $400 for the second 3, and he got the first 3 from the first carpenter. So there's 2 ways to calculate what the first carpenter is entitled to. One would be to say, listen, he did half the work, 3 out of 6 chairs, he gets half the money, half of 600 is 300, so he gets 300. The other way to calculate it is, listen, the deal was, this was a $600 job. I paid $400 to get the second 3 done because you walked out in the middle. So that leaves 200, 600 agreed, minus 400 that was paid to the second guys, leaving you 200. So I'm giving you 200 instead. So there's 2 possible ways to calculate it, which is fair, 200 or 300. Yadan ala tachtona means that he gets the lesser of the 2. So in such a scenario, if this way I just described, so then the first carpenter will get just 200, not 300. Now, it can go the other way around, by the way. It could say, listen, in the middle of the project, the employer finds a cheaper carpenter. So after 3 chairs are done, he says to the original carpenter, forget it, stop right there, I'm getting someone else who's cheaper than you. So again, now let's say, for example, you get someone to do the other last 2 chairs, the last 3 chairs for $200, let's say. So the same kind of calculations here. The original deal was to do it for $600. He paid $200 for the second set of 3, which means that he really should pay $400 for the first 3, to the first carpenter. Or you could say, again, the carpenter did half the job, he should get half the money at $300. So here it's the employer's hand will be in the tachtona, meaning there's no way for him to sort of cut it out in the middle, cheat the first carpenter and sort of save money. That's not allowed. So since it was a kablanis, he agreed to pay $600. If he pays $200 to the second carpenter for the last 3, he'll have to pay $400 to the first carpenter. His hand's on the tachtona because he cut out on the deal. Okay, that's principle number 1 of the Mishnah, and sort of we're done with that topic. Now, like new paragraph, the Mishnah is saying, oh, speaking of the topic of Yadola Tachtona, when people have, you know, this situation, they get the short end of the stick of the negotiation, there are a couple of other cases the Mishnah wants to talk about, which are not employment contracts, and other things. The first is Kol HaMishana. If an employee you hired to do a job for you deviates from the instructions. So the classic case is, and actually, this is actually a Mishnah back in Bava Kama, Perek Tes, Mishnah Dalad, 9-4, where I hire a dyer, D-Y-E, a dyer, to take my raw wool and convert it into beautiful red wool. Okay? Raw wool costs me 50, and the beautiful red wool, when it's finished, will be worth 200. Okay? So that's great. Meanwhile, what happens is that the dyer is mishaneh, he deviates from the instructions, and instead of making it red, he dyes it black. I don't really want black wool. No one wants black wool like they want red wool. But made a mistake. So what are the consequences? So there's 2 ways to decide what the dyer is entitled to. One is to say, listen, he deviated from the instructions. This wasn't instructed to do. but at least, so he shouldn't get paid for his labor, but at least he's going to be reimbursed for his expenses. Let's say his expenses for the black dye was 25. So one way to calculate, I say, at least give him his supply, his costs of expenses, 25, his supplies. The other way is say, listen, it's true that the wool in the end wasn't red, therefore it wasn't worth 200, but at least it's not black, that's worth more than raw wool, so it gave you some added value. So you should at least pay him for the value he added towards you. Again, this is the whole situation sort of a lose-lose, right? No one's happy with the situation, neither the dyer nor the guy who hired him to do the dyeing, but we're trying to make the what's just, what's fair. So again, assuming that the dyer didn't cause damage, he's not a mazik, if he would have made the original raw wool worth less, like, you know, he burnt it in a fire or something, then he's a mazik, has to pay for the damages. But if he actually improved them, so he's entitled to the lesser of either A, his expenses, direct cost, or B, the improvement, the added value that he provided to the employer. Okay, so that's why it's yadol ha'tachtona. So that means, for example, if the black wool goes for 100, okay, so if his cost of his supplies was 25, so then he got raw. So now, since it was worth 50 when it was raw, now it's worth 100 as black. So he added 50 of value. He expended 25 in expenses. He gets the lesser of 25 expenses or 50 added value, which is 25. And therefore, the employer would give him 25 to reimburse him, at least for the black dye, his expenses, and electricity, and I don't know what. The other way to calculate it is, listen, let's say, for example, the expenses, he actually spent $100 on this black dye, and now the whole thing's only worth $100 in the end. Okay? So now he wants to get reimbursed at least $100 he expended. The employer will say, listen, I gave you something worth $50. I could sell it for $100. You only gave me $50 in added value. So therefore, the employer would give him just $50, even though he laid out $100, so he's losing some money. But listen, he didn't follow instructions, so that's a consequence. And therefore, yadol ha'tachtona, you do the lesser of the two. That's that part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah is b'chol ha'chozer bo, anyone who backs out, yadol ha'tachtona, his hand is on the underside, meaning he's the less of the two. What are we talking about here? So we're talking about a real estate transaction, meaning a purchase, mekach o memkar. This is commercial transactions. And usually when it comes to a commercial transaction, giving over money doesn't do anything, like we saw before, and we saw about this issue of Misha Para, maybe, but it's not until you take physical possession, do a Maisa Kinyan, the transaction isn't binding. But when it comes to a real estate transaction, money, kesef, can affect the transaction. So the situation is something like this. A guy has a ranch in Texas. It's 10,000 acres. And so he wants to sell it, and he finds a buyer. The buyer says, listen, how much you want? He says, I want $10 million for my 10,000 acres. So the buyer says, listen, I haven't got $10 million now. I'll give you $1 million now, and I'll find the other $9 million and give it to you later. You know, give me 30 days. Fine. Now, what happens if one of the two sides then want to back out after that? So if it's the seller who wants to back out, he says, I know I was going to sell you the other 9,000 acres for $9 million, but I don't know what I found. Someone will pay me more for that. So then the person who's getting messed up, who's getting backed out of, meaning the buyer, has two options. He either can say, listen, that's fine, but you have to sell me, I don't care that you want to sell all 10 to somebody else, you have to give me the one that I bought, so you give me those 1,000 acres, and I'll give you my $1 million. Or he could say, listen, I went out, you know, that wasn't the deal. You've reneged on me, and I don't want to be neighbors with the guy you want to sell the rest of it to, so therefore, no, give me my money back, and then you can do what you want with your 1,000 acres. So he has a choice, either to back out of the deal or keep it as he wishes, but only he gets to choose. On the other hand, if the person who backs out is the buyer says, listen, I thought I could come up with another $9 million, but I can't. So now the seller has his options. Either can say, listen, fine, you have to at least, I'm keeping your one, and here's your 1,000 acres. Or he can say, listen, the parcel's not worth much to me, divided in half, forget it. I'm forcing you to take your money back, and I'll sell it to somebody else. So even though giving money does affect the Kenyan, but the rabbi said we are allowing the guy to back out and giving the person who's doing the backing, who started the, who like reneged on the deal originally, he has the under, the lower, short end of the stick, that his hand is on the underside, so to speak, getting, he has to accept the decision that the other person who's otherwise getting messed up decides whether to keep the transaction or to cancel it.